Today's poem is by New Brunswick poet Jennifer Houle, whom I first met as an English honors student over 10 years ago at Mount Allison University. She's given me permission to read her poem, The Back Channels, which is taken from her first book of poetry, published in 2016 under the same title, and a book that won the East Coast Literary Awards J.M. Abram Poetry Award and the Writers Federation of New Brunswick's Alfred G. Bailey Prize for the Best Poetry Manuscript. She tells me she has a second book of poetry coming out this spring, so watch for any announcements of readings in your area. The best introduction to today's poem is found on the back of the book, which reads as follows. These poems are an attempt to reconcile and even marry the language and imagery of domesticity, nature, and the environment with that of the professional, business, and political arenas that inform so much of our public discourse. The title poem, The Back Channels, works to elucidate how frequently we discount what we've decided cannot profit us, and how much of what we discount is nonetheless vital and full of data and potentially valuable information and resources and just plain life. I would add to this that the title of the poem is a perfect example of this merging of discourses or of ways of speaking. Back channels has a dark political meaning, as well as a technological meaning, referring to the way we use Twitter back channels at conferences. And yet, channels can also refer to waterways, such as rivers or creeks. This use of language aligns the poem with the growing list of what we now call eco-poems. That is, poems that alert us, often in clever, indirect ways, to attitudes we all share, that have given rise to our current predicament, and that we can work to change. The Back Channels by Jennifer Houle. There was talk of building a cathedral once, then a bistro, jewel of a boardwalk that would sluice along the pulpy banks where many streams ran parallel and sometimes pooled, argued, and frothed amongst each other before diverging, altered by the tussle. Their activity was monitored. What, we had to know, was being fostered in those creeks? Our listening devices settled in the still, deep vaults of beaver dams. But it was hard to know. There is what water does to sound. There were codes we couldn't crack. The call of a loon often interfered, jammed our system with noise. Gulls and peepers hid their eggs in our machines, and much was lost in the mess of births. One night, an awful flapping of wings struck us dumb. The steady burble we had been a long year sequencing did not resume. Intermittent wails of mourning pierced the unfamiliar royal. The only constant was the rotten tang of mink. An airy disappeared. We watched the log jams as they happened and resolved themselves. We realized it would never profit us to build. We found no reason to continue listening in.